ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
Well, tonight we're talking about wooden boats. And am I wrong in saying there's some kind of romance about a wooden boat, the way they glide through the water, the classic lines, the timber deck beneath your feet, the warm and comfort of all that, the feel, the smell of them? Australia, of course, as I said, has a long tradition of boating and sailing for leisure and industry, and wood's been the consistent and reliable fabric of boats throughout history, and for many they move through the water differently from today's fiberglass, aluminium and steel and composite hulls, which might have advantages, I know, but we'll talk about that in a moment. It's not all joy and lovely days in the water, of course. There's massive expense and maintenance issues as well. Joining us to talk about wooden boats, and I'd love you to join this conversation as well, Steve Robson is a self-confessed timber tragic from Sydney. Steve's in a syndicate of eight owners who share two wooden boats, a 1950s mullet boat, whatever that is, that's been converted to a day cruiser, and an 1893 sailing boat called Ventura. They prefer to use the term custodian rather than owners, and we'll get into some of Steve's rules about buying a wooden boat in a moment. Steve, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening, Phil.
Great to have you with us. Peter Higgs is president of the Wooden Boat Guild of Tasmania. Peter is a research assistant for the National Maritime Museum and on the Council for the Australian Register for Historic Vessels. His family have a history in boat building, with his great-grandfather building boats in what's now known as Devonport, Tasmania. Peter, good evening to you and welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening. Great. Thank you very much for having me.
It's great to have you with us as well. Also joining us, Greg Blunt is a fifth-generation shipwright, boat builder from Williamstown in Victoria. The family business C. Blunt Boat Building has been in operation for 150 years and specialises in timber boats. Greg, good evening to you and welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you very much and glad to be here.
Yeah, great to have you as well. Let's sit down and get a mug of tea going and have a yak about it. Steve, to you first, your 38-foot sailing boat, Ventura, first graced the water in Tasmania in 1893. That makes it over 130 years old. How much of it's the original?
Well, that's a good question. Over the course of her history, she's been rebuilt three times.
Completely?
Completely, yeah, including in the 1930s when they installed a 10-foot section in the middle of her, down in south of Hobart and Signet. And then more recently in 2015, she was rebuilt and extended and increased the freeboard so she was less wet.
What is it?
It's a designed by G.L. Watson, who's a classic boat designer out of Scotland. He designed many America's Cup boats back in the day and the Britannia for King George V, which was the most successful boat in the world and still is today. And Ventura is based on her. So she's a G.L. Watson classic timber boat.
Describe it to me. Two masts?
One mast sloop rig, 44.
So it's a sloop.
Sloop. So single mast, a genoa and a mainsail and a spinnaker. She's 44 foot overall these days and a beam of 9 foot, so quite slender. She draws about 1.6 metres and she's just a really pleasant, a lot of boat in the water, which means she's got a very nice action at sea.
Mm. What's she made of?
She's Huon pine, and they've been true to Huon pine all the way through. So all of her planks are Huon pine, and her ribs are. And you can still see the original ribs, including the where they got the shape for the hull from the carved out of the trees.
This is a great treasure, then, isn't it? Because yes. Huon pine is one of the rarest woods in the world at the time, because it was thought to be abundant. They didn't know how long it took to grow, thousands of years to get to maturity in many cases.
Yeah, it is a great tree. And the good thing is it gets better and better.
Yeah. So. Peter, you're president of the Wooden Boat Guild of Tasmania. Talk to me about Huon pine and why it's such a marvellous timber for building a boat.
Well, it's one of those timbers that has a very high pine content in it, oil. And they found in the early years that it survived being structures in the marine industry like jetties and wharfs and that sort of thing. Yeah. And then they started building boats with it. And it is just one of the best boat building timbers in the world. We had American boat builders out here for the last wooden boat festival. and they just couldn't believe what they were working with. They found that it was the best timber they'd ever used anywhere.
Yeah, the trouble is, Peter, they're not making any more of it, are they? Not in our lifetime anywhere, and not the way it's going, not in anybody else's lifetime. How much of it is left?
All that can be used today is timber that was down some time ago or is under the hydro lakes in Tasmania, and they are recovering some of that from the bottom of the lakes. But there is some still around, but you're right, it's a finite resource and there's not very much of it left.
I mean, if you wanted to build the Ventura today, a 38-foot sailing boat out of Huon Pine, there wouldn't be the timber to do it, would there?
Possibly not. We restored a 28-foot yacht, the Terralina, in Tasmania some years back, and we got all the Huon Pine planking for that because it had to be replaced. So you can do it, but it depends on availability at the time of doing it.
Mm. So, Steve, the next time for a rebuild, you're going to have to think about something else, aren't you?
Yeah, we'll make sure we look after her.
Yeah.
How long do they last? This is a point. Greg Blunt, you're a boat builder. How long does a timber boat last? Or is that like saying how long's a piece of string?
Well, we've got the Zephyr in Williamstown. Another shipwright, Ferdy's going to get going again. And she's 1879. We were in a syndicate of 10 looking after her for 10 years. And she looks in a sad way, but that timber, that Huon Pine timber, is as good as the day it was put in there. It's rare, yes, and people have it hidden in places, and they call us and ask if we want to buy it because they want a fortune for it, and every now and then we lash out and buy it and keep it in stock for repairs. But to answer that question, you maintain the boat, and the two guys there, Peter and Steve, is it?
Yep, yes, Peter and Steve, yeah.
Peter and Steve, no. It can go for, you know, it's endless. You just look after it and it's going to be there for years and years, hundreds of years. Yeah, it's a top timber.
I'd agree with you, Greg.
Okay, Huon Pine's fantastic. We know that. It's brilliant, but it's a totally finite resource. It's a rare resource, and essentially within a generation or two, there won't be any because it'll be gone. What do you build it out of? What's the next best bet?
Well, that's a great question. coming out of Fiji, which is pretty good at the minute. It's a difficult one. If someone wants us to build a new boat, it'll only be a small boat because we can't get the timber. We've got enough to build two more boats with the Huon we've got stored away. I'm not sure where I'm going to go and what I'm going to use. It's rather sad, actually, when you think about the quality of it. But as you said, down in Tassie, they are finding logs that sunk. It doesn't float. It sinks once it's full of water. Mm. It grows in water. And yeah, you can still get bits of it. You've got to go on a wait list now. It's a bit sad. So we build it out of other timbers, and we're not sure how they're going to last and if they're going to move a lot. I've seen that happen with cheaper timbers. I hate to say it, but I can see it coming to an end.
Peter, you're a researcher for the National Maritime Museum and on the Council for the Australian Register for Historic Vessels. How many boats are on the register?
There's just over 800 boats on there at the moment.
Right. What's the oldest one?
The oldest one, and I will stand corrected on this, is the Port Fairy lifeboat, designed and built by James Peak in 1857.
Mm-hmm.
And that's HV45, so that was the 45th boat to go on to the register. It's a beautiful boat. It was used as a lifeboat off of the Port Fairy jetty area, and it performed many rescues down there in its early days.
Yeah,
its significance is it's a wooden lifeboat built in 1857, and it's an example of the very early land-based lifeboats that operated on Rafe Coastline for southwest Victoria, and they're a vital part of the local communities around the coast.
Mm. What makes a wooden boat, Steve, I mean, I know it's romantic and all. And of course, that's the thing that boats were once built out of. But if you look at today's modern materials, aluminium and composites and steel, concrete, for that matter, which they also make boats out of, what advantages does it have?
The wooden boats are a very different item. I sail on fiberglass boats and they feel plastic, whereas in a wooden boat it's a living, breathing thing. It needs water to float because water expands the wood. And it's in its natural environment. It's also relatively easy to maintain. It's fun to maintain as well. So it has both sides in that it's a, if you buy a boat with classic lines like we have and then maintain it, it's a really enjoyable thing to sail or to motor.
How much time do you have in the water compared to up on the slip?
They're probably slipped, each boat will be slipped about 1 week a year, right, and the rest of the time's in the water being used by the other guys in syndicate and myself and our families.
Do you have arguments about who does the work?
No, we all, it's part of being timber tragic is you've got to love it and we all do our fair share of it.
You've described yourself as custodians rather than owners, meaning what? It's going to get passed on.
Just that these boats are classics and they're known in the waterways they're at. And so we've got a responsibility to keep them, maintain them. And we see it as, we've had the Moreton Bay Cruiser, the Margaret C, for 15 years, and we have no intention of selling her and pass it down. And so that becomes as you come and join the syndicate or leave it, you become a custodian.
We're getting, Peter Higgs, who's president of the Wooden Boat Guild of Tasmania, we're getting quite a few calls, text Peter saying, why aren't we growing any more Huon and pine? Is it still growing in Tassie? Is there any work being done to save it from extinction? Well, describe why that isn't really feasible, Peter.
Well, there is plenty of Huon and pine growing, but it cannot be cut down any longer by law. But then you've got to stop and think about it. Even if anyone wanted to commence a plantation, you're not going to see a yield from that plantation plant for probably anywhere up to 150, 200 years at the earliest. And that wouldn't be very much at all.
Yeah. I know I've got a plank of it at home, which one day I'll make something out of it with, but it's thought to be more than 1,000 years old, the piece of timber that I have.
That's quite possible, and a lot of what is milled in the past has been that old. And when we're thinking about the environment and everything else, it's almost unbelievable that we have cut it down in the past, and we've cut it down to a point where they won't let us cut any more down.
Exactly. Greg Blunt, the boat builder, I started asking about other timbers to build boats from. I mean, apart from Huon pine, there are other timbers, though. I mean, Huon pine's probably the first point of call, but there are other timbers, aren't there? What are they?
Our family used to use New Zealand kauri.
Right.
Now, that's a prohibitive export from New Zealand now. You can't get it.
Right.
As
with so many timbers, I would say, Greg.
Yep. Our family, I think we've been in business 170 years. They've built hundreds of boats. Then they're like homing pigeons. They come back to us for repairs. And we hunt down this New Zealand kauri because we want to put back like for like. And we've got boards. We've got cabin sides on one particular boat we're working on. The cabin sides were was the lunch table on trestles at the Bradmore Woolen Mills for the workers. So we bought those. We've got New Zealand kauri from CUB Breweries, the vats. We've got quite a store of it. In fact, my son said the other day, about a month ago, he said, how much timber have we got in the shed? And I said, oh, I don't know. He said, what's it worth? I said, mate, I haven't worked it out. And we did a bit of a look, stock taking. It's about 50 grand's worth of timber. And he said, now we've got to get it out of the shed in case the shed burns down. So that buying a container, fitting out the container in racks, a 20-foot container. And then the container in our yard looked a bit horrible. So we had a film company do an ad down using the front of the shed, and they put weatherboards on weatherboards in grey so they didn't have to paint the shed. we took these old weather boards, put it on the container to hide it, and then put a roof on it similar to our shed roof. And now it's full, chockers full of timber. But it's timber from Fiji. This Fijian mahogany is a pretty good timber, and they say they've got plenty of it. But like I said before, it's going to run out, and it's going to die. So we're going to find we'll all be spending more time looking after, like Stephen Pete say, looking as custodians after what exists now and trying to find timbers to put back if it's needed.
What plantation timbers can you use? Any?
Well, not many I know.
I mean, things like Monterey or Radiata pine or things like that, you can't build boats out of those, can you?
No, not really. And if you look at the Oregon you buy today, or the Douglas fir, the rings are so far apart because it's sort of forced grown somehow.
Mm.
I've got a piece of Ewan pine in my office. I started to count the rings on it, and I counted 70 rings. That took a while. Then I extrapolated that across. It was a 600-year-old piece of timber.
Yeah.
The Margaret C is made out of spotted gum on Ewan pine ribs.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. There is some spotted gum, but it's pretty, you couldn't build a boat like Ventura with spotted gum. It's too hard.
Let me give you an example. We built a new pier down at our establishment, which isn't ours. It's the government's, actually. We only lease it. And it was an agreement with Heritage Victoria, who I can't speak highly enough. It was a one-for-one grant to build a new heritage pier. We completed this in 2019, just prior to COVID, with these contractors. Each pile was made out of turpentine from northern New South Wales. Those piles, 50 of them, were $1,000 each, and the decking, crossheads and running beams were all spotted gum. Now, today, to buy those piles, the same turpentine piles, they're $5,000 each. So it's getting dearer and scarcer.
What are you saying, Greg? You're saying actually the future is pretty bleak in a sense for the building of traditional craft from traditional timbers.
You get any boat builder, and they want to use Ewan pine, they want to use New Zealand kauri, they want to use the best.
Yeah.
And if you can't get it and you're using an inferior product and it turns around and bites you, as in it moves later on in its life, there's a lot of work goes into a timber boat, and that risk is there. So that's a risk I don't really want to take with a strange timber I'm not sure of.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. Text was 0467 922 702 if you've got a call. What about WA Jarra? Is that any good, Greg?
They closed. How many mills did they close in Western Australia? There's like a dozen of them.
Yeah.
And in Western Australia, if you go around, you'll see it everywhere. It's a fantastic timber. And that's becoming hard to get. You know, years ago, you could buy plenty of Jarra from Bunnings. And they don't sell any of that now. That's become extremely difficult. But what a great timber that is, a great Australian timber. You've got Jarra Curl, you've got Ewan Pine Planking, and Spotted Gum Ribs. It's a good mix.
Yeah. We're talking about wooden boats tonight with some wooden...
There's a good story there, though, that should be told.
Yes, Peter?
The H28, which is a small sailing craft, was built by a returned serviceman after World War II in Western Australia out of Jarra. And most of those Jarra H28s are still floating today.
Okay. There you go. We're talking about wooden boats tonight. Steve Robson's with us. Peter Higgs, president of the Wooden Boat Guild of Tasmania. Steve Robson owns two wooden boats. And Greg Blunt's a boat builder. He's a fifth generation boat builder, but he's been in business for 150 years in Williamstown in Victoria. Although based on the availability of timber, you wonder how much longer it's got to go. If you'd like to join us, 0467 922 702 is my text line.
Nightlife with Philip Clark
on ABC Radio.
Yes, who do you... Steve Robson, owner of two wooden boats. What's the other one, a mullet boat? We've talked about the Ventura, made of Huon.
Yeah,
what's the mullet boat?
Mullet boat's a Moreton Bay cruiser, from Moreton Bay.
What's it built from?
It's made out of spotted gum on Ewan pine ribs.
Okay.
And a beechwood deck. She's just a classic.
How many times has this been rebuilt?
She's still true to her original design. There's a back's been added to it, but no, they're very true to the original design.
Yeah.
And just used back in the day to fish for mullet off Moreton Bay.
Okay, you've shown me a picture of one with a Land Rover in the back.
Yeah, that's literally.
Well, how does this work?
She's got low gunnels, and they used to back a Land Rover onto her, a short wheelbase, take it over to Moreton Bay, stretch a net out between the Land Rover and Margaret Sea, and fish for mullet. Fill the
Land Rover would drive along the beach pulling a net in.
That's right. Yep. And they back it up at low tide, put an oyster pot under each chine, and wait for the tide to come in, float the boat. And she's designed to be run aground like that. And yes, she's filled. And we've got photos of her filled to the gunnels with mullet. go all the way back to.
Are you allowed to do this anymore?
Oh, I don't think so. No.
I don't think
that was back in 1958.
Yes. What do you use her for now?
She's a beautiful day boat. So a week before last, we had lunch for 12 people on board, and there's a barbecue there and a table, and we just sit around and enjoy. Probably only go an hour or so away from her marina berth, and she has 5 berths on board, so we can go away for up to a week on her if you want to. But it's basic. It's a wooden boat, and it's camping on water, but it's beautiful to do.
Yeah, all right. Peter, you're president of the Wooden Boat Guild of Tasmania. Is the membership declining? I mean, are the numbers of wooden boats increasing? Are they declining? What's happening to them?
Well, our membership is growing, albeit slowly, but we have over 80 members at the moment. And some of those are in most of those are in Tasmania. Most of them are in southern Tasmania. But we have several right across Tasmania, and we also have members on the mainland. The number of boats that are growing, wooden boats, are probably some of the more recent designs, such as, say, a Welsford boat, which is made of plywood. It's probably not as flexible as has been explained of a proper wooden boat. But they are building new boats out of plywood quite successfully at the moment.
Yeah, how do you make a boat out of plywood?
It's basically putting it together. You could actually cut the plywood into planks and build it in a traditional way.
Uh-huh.
Or you can actually cut it the way the Welsford boats are made, in fairly wide strokes, and put them on. They're epoxied on so that they're... The whole boat is quite rigid, has many flotation tanks in them, and they work very well.
Oh, yeah. What's the term you used? A Wexford boat, was it?
Welsford.
Welshford. Okay. Yeah. Tell me. Yep. So is that a particular design, or is it a style of construction?
It's a designer from from New Zealand, John Welsford.
Mm-hmm.
And they are quite a beautiful small boat, and they work extremely well in all conditions. One person from America has sailed one around Cape Horn.
Well, that's that's a test, because lots of boats and lots of ships never made it around Cape Horn.
No, it was quite a feat. It really was.
Unnamed texter says, I've got a 34-foot ketch built in 1970, spotted gum below the water, Oregon topsides on spotted gum frames. Still in good nick. All right, look, let's welcome some others to the program. We're talking about wooden boats and the love of wooden boats and the care and maintenance of them too.
This is Nightlife with Phil Clark
on ABC Radio.
And if you've just joined us, we're talking about the love of wooden boats. Our guests, Steve Robson, Peter Higgs and Greg Blunt, all experts in the area. Steve owns 2 with others. Peter Higgs is the president of the Wooden Boat Guild of Tassie. And Greg Blunt's a fifth-generation boat builder from Williamstown in Victoria. If you'd like to text questions, 0467 922 702. 0467 922 702. If you've got some questions you would like to ask as well. Greg, what's the biggest mistake timber boat owners make when trying to maintain their timber boats?
The salt water is a preservative. You keep putting salt water onto the boats to stop the fresh water, which causes the rot. The rot spores live in fresh water. So keeping salt water on the decks and maintenance. You know, you've got to do these things once a year, every 18 months, and people let them go, and then they start to fall apart. So, sure, they're high maintenance, but that's part of the fun. Some customers come to us, and we restore a boat with them, and they end up selling the boat, and then they come back and want to do another one because they enjoyed the journey so much. And Steve would understand that. The journey is just as good as sailing the boat. In fact, it's interesting. That's the maintenance. It's all about maintenance.
Yeah. Steve, you've created 10 rules for people thinking about buying a boat. What are the top three?
The main rules for us revolve around usage and maintenance. Yeah. And so the reason we have 8 custodians that own the two boats is that we use them a lot. Yeah. So you're turning the engine over, you're hoisting the sails. And if you use a boat a lot, then it's going to keep going. And so
you got to use it.
Yeah, the primary thing is if you own a boat, find a way for it to be used.
Like, what do you mean used? Not once every 3 months.
Yes, that's right.
So like, once a week.
Ideally, once a week or once a fortnight. Our syndicate rules are that anyone can use them anytime. You just got to book it online, or our family members for that matter. Yeah. And they probably
how often does a Venturer get out?
In summer, weekly, and then in winter, less often, so probably monthly.
Yeah. Yeah,
and Margaret C is a bit easier to use, so she would get out at least a couple
this
of times.
This is the mullet boat.
Yeah, the mullet boat. Yeah. So she's out twice this weekend. Ventura's in.
But this is the good idea, isn't it? If you've got a great old wooden boat like this, it's better not to own it yourself,
yes.
Is it? It's better to have it in a syndicate of five or six or even more people.
That's right, which is why we created that syndicate and the rules.
How do you find the right people?
Just by talking to people, and we've had people come and go that we've only had 2 people leave the syndicate in 15 years, but the people that come in all either want to learn about boats or know about boats. And once they get involved, they seem to really enjoy it.
Yeah. All right. 0467 922 702 is our text line. If you'd like to give us send us a text with a question. Jeff says, great to hear fellows talking about timber boats. As a builder, I've been collecting used timber from jobs for decades. Plan to use it in my retirement next year, I hope. Maybe a dinghy. That could happen. Hey, Greg, if I wanted you to build me a dinghy out of Huon Pine right now, could you do it? And what would it cost?
Yes, we could do it. And the last one we built was for the Botanic Gardens. And the cost, we did it for the right price for them.
Yeah.
But now you'd probably be up around $30,000 or $40,000.
Really? For a dinghy? Yeah.
And we're talking probably a 10-foot dinghy.
Yeah.
And we'd be struggling to do it for that.
Yeah.
A quick example, we had a customer in last week, and he wanted some sister ribs put in his boat. I'm not a big fan of sister ribs, but that's what he wanted. And I said to him, well, has this guy got a piece of Huon Pine down at Phillip Island? Go and get it. If you can get that, you're not using my Huon Pine for these little sister ribs.
Yeah.
We cut it up and we put the Huon Pine ribs in that boat, 29 of them. They're only small ribs. We pre-bent them. Those 29 ribs were hit 15,000 times to rivet that together. So this happened over 3 days, him working with me to save him money. And the bill on that job wasn't that much. It was about $3,000. And, you know, he was wrapped. He was, because the boat's got another life, and it's a 50-year-old boat.
Other ways into wooden boats as well. I've got a 50-year-old mirror in my backyard. It's right. A dinghy.
A mirror's a dinghy.
Yeah,
11-foot sailing dinghy.
Yeah, 11-foot dinghy, yep. It's got Oregon spars and a plywood hull. It is 50 years old. It still goes really well. Cost me $500. Yeah.
There you go.
And it's just a beautiful little thing to sail around and pot around in.
Yeah. Okay, in the water, in the water they act differently, do they?
I think so. Particularly, something like Ventura, which has got a really long keel, which isn't designed like that anymore, has really not nice action in waves and very steady platform to just be on.
Hmm.
And then the Margaret C, which is more of a cruiser, she's only 38 foot long and about 14 tons, so she's just very solid in the water. So no matter what hits us, she just trucks along, and at 7 knots, And it's just a, and once you're on board, everyone who comes on board Margaret Sea just has a big smile because that's how it feels. It's just a classic sort of design.
We are talking wooden boats. Give us a call. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Ellie's been waiting on here. Hello, Ellie.
Hi.
G'day.
I'm Ellie Kuhn. I'm the secretary of the Maritime Heritage Association in WA.
Yeah.
And I wonder if people know a bit the history of wooden boat building in WA, and if they know that the oldest wooden boat in Australia is built in WA.
The oldest boat in Australia was built in WA?
Yes.
Okay. Is that, Peter, is that right?
I think it could be right. I'm not 100% sure of that at the moment, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Well...
Where is it? Where is it, Ellie?
Well, it's not there anymore.
It's not with us anymore. Okay, yeah.
No, it's from 1727.
Ah, okay.
It's built by the survivors of the Zeevaak, one of the VOC ships that's shipwrecked here on the west coast.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Gotcha. Yeah.
But there are intentions to rebuild it again. WA, especially Fremantle, has quite some history in building replicas. We build the Endeavour replica that's now in the Australian National Maritime Museum.
Of course, that's
we
true.
Build the Dauvke.
Yeah.
The Dauvke is not in West Australia anymore. We have only one replica left from early times, and that's the Batavia longboat from 40 years old. But there are plans for the 300-year celebration of the wreck of the Zeevaak. That's in Geraldton. There will be a replica of the sloop, the first ship that was built in Australia in 1727.
Yeah, extraordinary. Thank you, Ellie. That's they're nice stories. Jenny in Eden. So, Jen, you bought a Huon Pine fishing boat. Tell me about it.
Yes. Hello. From the Eden Killer Whale Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Recently we were talking...
We were talking about killer whales recently. Yeah, go on.
We were. But we're just not using them, but trying to preserve them. But we have recently purchased about a 28-foot fishing vessel. She's Huon Pine, and she was built by Ike Warren. I wonder if your fellows there know of that of the Warren family who built boats.
Anybody heard of the Warren? No knowledge of the Warren family here, Jen, but go on.
Right, okay. Yeah, well, he was designing and building fishing boats here in Eden, and they're scarce as hen's teeth, so we decided to bite the bullet and purchase this one, which we're yet to get within our museum grounds, but we've secured it for the museum. We've got a few other smaller vessels in the galleries at the museum, but interesting also, just this week, our high school students have finished building a whale boat here at the Eden High School.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a lovely thing for young people to be doing.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Still a bit of building. I'm not sure what timber they used for the whale boat. But it's good to get this. This vessel that we've bought, she'd be at least 80 years old, and she was still well and truly seaworthy. Yeah.
Fantastic. Good on you, Jen. Thank you. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Peter, just back to you, and Greg, back to you as well. Peter, given that the awareness of them now, you presume they're not being broken up, are they, anymore?
Yes, they still are. We have an organisation in Tasmania known as ARBO, which is looking after boats at risk. And it's just recently in Brisbane, Forceful, a historic steam tug, was destroyed. So it does happen at the moment.
Is the timber? Can you recover the timber off these or not?
Sometimes you can and reuse them, but it depends on what you want to reuse them for and the size of the timbers in it. And I don't think any of that was recovered.
Yeah. Okay, all right. 1-300-800-222 is the number. We talked about rule number one, Steve, for buying a boat. That is, you've got to use it. And that means probably buying it with others.
Yes, that's right.
And probably more than one other. Okay. There are three main rules. What's the second one?
Well, again, it all relates back to lots of use and multiple owners. But by doing that, you manage to defray the cost of maintenance particularly.
Yeah.
And that's a big issue for us. So we talk about boats as a lifestyle liability, not an asset. and we don't spend dollars, we spend boat units. And so if we send it off to the boat yard, it's how many boat units is it?
How much does the Ventura cost you a year to keep going?
It would be, for both boats, because it's all done together, would be about $24,000 a year. But that includes everything.
But that's split between eight people.
That's right. That's right. And do it on a monthly basis.
That's cheaper than a golf club membership.
Yeah. So, and again, that's the beauty of having multiple owners.
Yeah. That's true. Peter, what do you think? Do you think there's that old thing about people buying boats, the two happiest days of the day you buy them and the day you sell them? Does that apply to wooden boats as well?
There is some truth in that, but sometimes the day you sell it is the saddest day also, so I don't think that's necessarily the case. But, you know, we all are in this game, so as to say, to ensure that the heritage of Australian maritime history is maintained and the skills of sailing and being safe at sea are passed on to younger generations. Yeah. And that's where the key is to keeping it going.
Yeah, no, I agree. Chris from Gladesville is on the line. Chris, g'day.
Good evening. I belong to a club called Concord and Ride Sailing Club, and we spend 8 months on the water sailing our boats.
Yeah.
And then we spend 4 months in the winter building new boats.
Oh, yeah.
Ply and
building
polony.
Building them out of what, Chris?
Ply and polony mainly.
Ply and what?
Polony.
Polony? Polony's a luncheon meat. What? Polony's a luncheon meat you're having a sandwich, what?
No, it's grown up on the New South Wales central coast around Coffs Harbour. It's light and doesn't absorb water.
Hang on, it's a timber?
Yeah, timber.
Called what?
Polony is what I'm told it's called.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of it. No, okay.
Never seen a label on it. But we use gaboon ply and generally polony.
Yeah.
And of course, good quality glues. And last winter, we built three scow moths, which are sailed every Saturday now. And the winter before that, we built five firebugs, which we use for training kids. Now, the people who build the boats are actually kids from the local area as with adult support. So they develop skills of boat building over winter, and they end up getting involved in sailing as well, because they build them, then they sail them, and then they become hooked on sailing a wooden boat, which is a much nicer feel than sailing a plastic boat.
Yeah. So I'm being told. Thank you, Chris. So I'm being told. Peter Higgs is the president of the Wooden Boat Guild of Tasmania, and Greg Blunt's with us as well, a boat builder. Greg, you're in business now with your son. How is it hard to build? One of the skills required in boat building are, you know, much more difficult than cabinet making skills, for example?
It's a series of processes that you start with, and you just go through each process until the job's complete.
Hmm.
Once you know those processes, they basically are the same for a dinghy right up to a 50-footer.
Tell me about some of those processes. Is it about bending timber, for example, is it?
It's steam bending timber. Yeah, we've got a few ways of steam bending timber.
Yeah.
One of the best ones we've got is a coffee urn. And we stuck a pipe in the top of that. Another one, we copied an American boat builder, Danforth, I think his name was. Danberg. And this thing, let's just say it wouldn't pass any safety test, but we can get steam up in about a minute and 40 seconds. it's a ripper. Another one we got is an old boiler outside which my father and his father and his father used this old boiler from Echuca. When we got the boiler going, people used to leave the yard with the noise it made. It didn't actually hold pressure. It was just like a big kettle. But, you know, it's just a set of processes which you start off with. You got your first thing you draw is your water line, if you're designing it, how much freeboard, how much draft, then the width, what it's going to do, what it's going to carry, or is it going to go fast? And you just do this process, which we were taught at trade school.
Okay. So you lay a keel, you put the ribs in, and then you plank it, do you? Is that how you do it?
Well, with the dinghies, we lay the keel, we put the stem and the transom on,
Then
we put the moulds in, and we put the planking. We start with.
And how do you fix the wooden planks together? With rivets?
Yeah, we rivet them with copper nails. And everything about this business is becoming harder to get the copper nails, to get the roves. It's all, you can see the end coming. Now, that person before talking about that timber, Polonia, that's an amazing timber. It's like balsa wood. It grows very quickly.
Yeah. Is it an Australian timber? Is it? I've never heard of it.
Well, I didn't think it was, but obviously they're growing. It grows very fast.
Right.
And it's really easy to use. We don't use it, actually. I had a piece given to me as a trial, and it's actually, I made a bench in my office out of it. Yeah. I wasn't too sure about it. This was years ago. The process is a great physical, mental process, and at the end you hope it all works. But an old boat builder, Harry Clark, he built 40-odd boats in his backyard in Newport next to Williamstown here. He said to me, he says, if you live long enough, you'll end up, your friends will be dead and gone, your kids won't be interested, and you'll end up with a 15-footer because you can handle it yourself. And you get in a little 15-footer by yourself and you listen to the water hitting the laps of those planks. There's no sound like it. It's just amazing. And the thwack of the fiberglass boats and the tinny noise of the aluminium boats, there's nothing like the timber boats.
Yeah.
The smell of them, the whole thing's alive. It's not alive, but it's, you're thinking, is this all going to hold together? And it does. It's a time-tested
Are they strong? Are they actually stronger than other than more modern materials or not?
Well, that's a very interesting question. So you get two pieces of timber and you rivet them together with copper nails. So try and pull them apart, just see how strong they are.
Yeah.
And like I said before, with those 29 sister ribs we just did, and there's 15,000 taps of the hammer on all those nails. When you work it out, there's 30 taps on each nail. It's strong, it's very strong. And then you've got the advantage of the timber slightly swells and then it becomes tighter again.
Mm-hmm. Peter Higgs, President of the Wooden Boat Guild of Tassie. Tell me about your boat, Peter. Sorry, Pete, if I put you...
I have a 42-foot Hugh and Pine boat.
A 42-foot Hugh and Pine boat, yeah?
Yep, designed by Ray Kemp. It's very much along the lines of the police boat that Ray Kemp also designed in Hobart.
Mm-hmm.
It was built in 93. You couldn't afford to build a boat like that at the moment. The Hugh and Pine planks on it are 2 inches thick, and the structure inside, all of the heavy timbers inside the boat are Hugh and Pine also.
Yeah.
So it's just an incredible boat. It gives a lot of joy. It's very safe to be in. But yes, there is work with it, but you don't get it a free lunch anywhere today, do you?
Hey, Greg, you don't paint Hugh and Pine, do you? Or do you? Greg?
In 83,
yeah.
And oil coming out of the Hughans come through the white paint.
Okay.
And yeah, we do paint Hugh and Pine, of course.
Yeah.
You can paint it. We put preservative in it to help it along too. We try every trick in the book to make the boat last as long as possible. But the best thing you can put on it is salt water.
Okay. But you have to paint a boat to maintain it though, do you?
It's up to you. If you want the headache of the varnish, which looks fantastic, because let's face it, we want to see the timber.
Yeah.
We don't paint at all. Don't varnish at all because it looks like a piece of furniture. You've got to have some paint somewhere. And that's up to the eye. I paint the Hugh and Pine, and I'm sure most people do.
1-300-800-222 is the number if you'd like to call. Wendy from Narromine. G'day, Wendy.
Yes, good night. Could you tell me about the Pandora? It was built by David Barclay early in the century, and his son sailed it and won lots of races, and then he went to the war, First World War, and was killed there.
This was a racing yacht, was it, Wendy?
Yes.
And where did it sail out of?
Where did it start?
No, where was it? Yeah, where was it? Where was it at anchor?
At Hobart.
In Hobart, okay. Peter, have you heard of the Pandora?
Pandora was designed by William Hand, I believe, and Alfred Bloor had a hand in it also. It was quite a beautiful boat, and it's historic vessel 187. I believe that's the same boat.
Okay. All right. Steve, what are you going to do with the boat when you get too old to sail? You've got to hand it on. You said you're a custodian. Who are you going to hand it on to?
Fortunately, my kids love the boats.
Okay.
And they're avid users as well. Oh. And so I'll keep using it as long as I can, and hopefully
the kids will.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Greg, speaking of handing things on, are you getting anybody to work with you? I mean, who are you going to hand the boat building on business on? It's going for 150 years now. Are you going to be able to keep it going?
Well, we're keeping it going. It's not an easy business. If you need another hour, I could tell you the problem.
Can we have a cup of tea after the show? That's
right. My wife Jo and I have run it for 30 years on our own since my dad passed, and we've had enormous problems along the way with the site, the pier. We had to put the sewerage on. We've had a fight with the government over land tax, and for anyone listening, there is no land tax on reclaimed land. Soil contamination issues, that was huge. We had to get the site dirt removed to a foot in depth. Mm. And they hit me up with a huge bill saying it was all our fault. We could prove we've been
now, Greg,
on that.
Greg, what you're telling me is you've had a few problems.
we've had many, many issues, and it's worth a book, actually, because we've sort of got through every one of them. So we just keep working. The average death in our family is in the mid-70s.
You've got a way to go.
71 now, so I've got a few years to go.
Well, more power to your plane and more power to your drill. I hope it's an electric one, Greg, rather than a hand-operated machine. But I do thank you for your time. Greg Blunt's been with us. He's a fifth-generation boat builder from Williamstown in Victoria. Peter Higgs has been with us too, president of the Wooden Boat Guild of Tasmania. And also with us, Steve Robson, who's a timber tragic. He's got two wooden boats, but he's got eight people he can hand it off to. So there's lots of pleasure to make a go around. Well, good sailing, Steve. I hope you have a terrific time with it. It's been great talking about it. And Peter Higgs, to you too, president of the Wooden Boat Guild of Tasmania. It's been a great pleasure as well. Yes, the romance of water and the romance of wooden boats. I hope I've whetted your appetite for it. It's a commitment. I think that's the thing. But like anything else, that can repay massively.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.